Hello, this is Darrell Castle with today's Castle Report. This is Friday, the 12th day of April in the year of our Lord, 2024. I will be talking about the war in Ukraine, how the NATO forces opposing Russia are growing increasingly desperate as Russia continues to grind down the Ukrainian military. The state of the war is becoming obvious, hard to ignore to all but the most ardent anti-Russian types. My beat is war again. This time it's a war that is all but forgotten, with the war in Gaza starting to take Ukraine from the minds of the media and the front pages of the newspapers. The increasing desperation is evidenced by the threats of French President Emmanuel Macron to send French troops into Ukraine. The Russians, in response, said that French troops would become priority targets if they entered Ukraine. These French troops would be independent of NATO, of course, but that would still put the U.S. on a dangerous path, a path that could lead ultimately to nuclear war. It should be obvious to any rational person that Russia has thousands of nuclear weapons, and if Russian backs are pushed against the wall by NATO being on its border, Russia would use those weapons. Unfortunately, it appears that there are a lot of irrational people running foreign policy in the U.S., and other NATO countries. Things could, probably would, escalate quickly if Macron sent French troops into Russia's border. The vice president of the Russian Duma, which is the equivalent of their Congress or parliament, is named Peter Tolstoy, a descendant of the great Russian Leo Tolstoy. He warned that it would take only 2 minutes to nuke Paris. Only 2 minutes. The Russian Air Force is becoming more and more active in Ukraine because Ukraine's air defense system has been degraded by the war. So in response, NATO says it will step up the schedule for delivery of F-16 fighter jets. I mentioned before when the F-16 decision was first announced that Ukrainian airfields cannot accommodate those aircraft. They would therefore need bases outside Ukraine in NATO countries, and Putin has warned that those bases would be legitimate targets. Russia has hypersonic missiles that are extremely difficult to defend. That would, of course, require a NATO retaliatory response. Where would all that lead? Where would that madness lead, I wonder, folks? The listed reason for all this escalation is that Russia poses some existential threat to NATO and or Europe, and that premise is clearly absurd. The U.S. has already caused severe damage to the economies of most European countries, especially Germany, by destroying the Nord Stream pipeline. So who is the bigger threat to Europe, the U.S. or Russia? I wonder, isn't that destruction a message that says, obey me, folks, or else? The reason I say that the idea that Russia could invade other countries in Europe is absurd is that Russia has nothing to gain by doing so. The Russian military has struggled for more than 2 years to occupy a small territory on its border with Ukraine. Why would Putin want to trigger an Article 5 NATO response when none of those countries can do anything for him and put him on a fast track to nuclear war? Sometimes people point out that Putin once said, quote, whoever doesn't miss the Soviet Union doesn't have a heart, end quote. They conveniently leave out the rest of his sentence, though. That was, whoever wants it back doesn't have a brain. Putin has a brain, and he has no intention to restore the Soviet Union. Russia does, however, have strategic interests, like any great power. Ukraine, especially Crimea, have always been strategic interests of the most vital sort to Russia. So Washington says that Ukraine is free and independent nation and can join NATO anytime it wants. Doesn't need Russian permission to do so, even though it is on Russia's border. The U.S. is free to declare the entire Western Hemisphere off limits by way of the Monroe Doctrine, which means keep out of here because it's ours. A great power like Russia has no say at all in the decision to allow an enemy alliance on its border. Given Russia's long history of being invaded, especially from the West, it's no wonder Putin may be just a little paranoid. Look at a map, and you will see that parts of Ukraine are east of Moscow, less than 300 miles away. The U.S. was famously not interested at all in allowing Russian strategic missiles in Cuba, about 400 and 50 miles from Washington. To me, this war is total and complete madness. Anyone who supports continually funding it should never be allowed to hold office in the U.S. government again. Ukraine cannot continue fighting without U.S. aid, therefore would be forced to make peace through some accommodation to Russia. That fact leaves Washington totally responsible for the continued destruction, risk of nuclear annihilation caused by the war. Will Washington continue its funding even though it is destructive and totally pointless? Yes, of course it will. Another $60 billion will soon be on its way to who knows where to accomplish who knows what in Ukraine. Meanwhile, back in the USA, according to the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, the net interest on the federal debt exceeded defense spending in the first half of fiscal year 2024, which began in October and included the 6 months, including March. It seems that the federal government has no money to give away, only debt. So I ask you to consider the insanity of a country that votes to give away over $100 billion in military aid so another country can fight a war against a much bigger opponent. The country has no money, only debt, so it funds other people's wars with debt, the interest on which has now, at least for the last 6 months, exceeded its own defense costs. That seems like both insanity and extremely irresponsible behavior. Let's say you sit down with your wife to figure out a budget for the upcoming year. You write down your mortgage, your average utilities, your fuel costs, your food budget, all the other things families need to take care of themselves and send two children to school. When you get it all added up and match it with income, your wife says, "Wait a minute, we don't make enough money to fund all this." You tell your wife, "Well, yes, I know, but we're going to fund it anyway. And we will borrow enough money to give our neighbor a few thousand dollars so he can fight a long, pointless legal battle against our other neighbor. The U.S. is proposing a budget which is almost twice as much as revenue and still funds other people's wars around the globe. Bread and circus at home, I understand, because it's how power-addicted people maintain their power. For example, Joe Biden's economic policies are so bad, he's ruining the lives and futures of young people across America. He obviously knows that as well as I do. What does he do? Does he change course and preserve their futures? No. He tries to buy their votes by canceling student loan debt, thus making them prostitutes and him serving as their pimp. Net interest on the U.S. public debt cost an estimated $440 billion in the first half of this fiscal year, or the period from October through March, according to the Congressional Budget Office. That was an increase of 43% over the same period last year, so things are rapidly spinning out of control. What is left for Social Security, the biggest source of spending, which also increased from $652 billion in 6 months to $711 billion this year, the costs of Medicare, Medicaid, both dramatically exceed last fiscal year's numbers. What's left for those items that the American people need to live after all the funding of other people's wars, other people's chaos, other people's calamity around the world? Not much, except more debt for our children to bear. To illustrate, in February, the federal government spent $567 billion against revenue of $271 billion. So does that make sense to anyone? Those who think it makes sense tend to look at the situation like this. Many people who have serious disease and or obesity continue to eat too much unhealthy food, thinking, I suppose, that, well, nothing's happened so far. Their eating habits may be unsustainable. Their children may be left without parents eventually. But so far, so good. Those who ignore the accumulation of public debt with the idea that, well, we haven't killed ourselves yet, so it must be okay, are very reckless people who are leading us to destruction. The people who purport to lead us today seem to have learned nothing from history. Well, perhaps they did learn, excuse me, folks, perhaps they did learn that if you oppose the military-industrial security complex, you just might pay with your life. But they've learned very little else. The trust between the U.S. and Russia Coming out of the Cuban Missile Crisis should be an indelible memory because when the world saw the brink of nuclear war, they took steps to calm the tension. Today, so many promises have been made and broken. There is no trust anymore. Nuclear disarmament treaties painstakingly built over many decades by many people on both sides have all been dismantled. The attitude about nuclear war now seems to be, oh, well, let's push a little harder, see what happens. If anyone with decision-making authority in Washington cared or had any sense at all, they would stand down, seek peace, seek disarmament, but no, they'd rather continue the brinksmanship, and their insane push to nuclear war is so bad right now, I'm starting to think Biden is taking orders from George Soros, who has publicly said that direct war between Russia and the U.S. would be necessary. I suppose it is necessary for his Dr. Strangelove dream to be fulfilled in this world. The think tanks in Washington are starting to send people to the Sunday morning news shows to give their opinions that it might be necessary to send NATO troops into Ukraine to avoid a catastrophic defeat of Western efforts. That is straight out of Robert McNamara's playbook entitled, How to Lose 60,000 Dead in Vietnam. First, you talk about it just to get people used to the idea. Then you're just advising the indigenous people who live there. Then you have 500,000 troops committed. People are being drafted right out of high school because war is a young man's game. It helps if the young men are uneducated and naive, if at all possible. The U.S. currently has soldiers in Moldova, which is on the border of Ukraine between that country and Romania. Romania has been intimidated into a new law that would allow them to intervene in a foreign conflict even when Romania is not threatened by that conflict. There is no Russian army with enough soldiers and weapons to defend the entire Russian border with NATO. At least they could not defend it with conventional arms, so that leaves only nuclear madness as a possibility. I suppose the average normal person cannot stare very long at reality or else he would experience suicidal depression. There's no shortage of con men, pitch men waiting to deceive him, so he goes to the polls, does his duty, and he votes. He votes because he thinks he has found the difference this time. His vote will make things change this time. I conclude he wants to be deceived because reality is just too painful. He cherishes the deception, such as the laws of economics can be repealed by the wise people who inhabit Washington. Deficits do not matter. Income never has to equal or exceed expenses. Prosperity really does come from a printing press. Money comes from that press also. Therefore, money and wealth are the same thing. All the examples of history, like Zimbabwe, Venezuela, Argentina, many times, Weimar Germany, they all count for nothing because it's different here. It's different now. The U.S. is predicted by the Congressional Budget Office to exceed 130% debt to GDP ratio in the next presidential term. That has only happened 52 times in world history. 51 times the nation has collapsed, at least economically. And only Japan carries on the debt of the United States as a reserve. The Japanese use their debt to buy U.S. debt, then use the interest payments from the U.S. to buy more U.S. debt. Yes, folks, if that sounds crazy, that's because it is. I wonder if any politician anywhere is concerned about the growing debt as I am. There might be a few others because I understand that economist David Stockman, who favors drastically reducing debt, is now advising Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but unfortunately, he has close to zero chance of ever being elected. Finally, folks, if none of this makes any sense to you, well, then you must be normal. But look at it like this. Each dollar printed increases the demand for increased interest rates and increased inflation. Events that happen follow patterns that have occurred over centuries. We are supposed to learn from the past trials and errors and not repeat them. But those are hard lessons. You tell your kids that you made the mistakes so they don't have to, but sometimes they just don't listen. At least that's the way I see it. Till next time, folks, this is Darrell Kessel. Thanks for listening.